Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we begin a sermon series on one of the fruits of the Spirit, peace. Why peace? Well, because peace is something Jesus really wants each one of us to have and experience. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and then gave his longest recorded section of teaching from John 13 to 17. If you read it in a red letter edition, it's all red letters, pretty much. In that long teaching section called the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus focuses on four topics. Number one, how to get to heaven, John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. Number two, love, John 13, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. Number three, joy, John 15, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. And then peace. John 16 says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Four things Jesus wants for all of his disciples. He wants you to be full of his love, his joy, his peace, and spend eternity with him in heaven. Now you might be thinking, Pastor, look at all the bad things going on in the world. Look at all the pain and suffering there is in the world. How can we have peace? The world is crazy. It's messed up. It's full of pain and suffering. Is it really possible to have peace in a world full of suffering? I believe it is, but not by our own effort or by our own willpower. Peace is not something we can achieve by willpower. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't just decide to have more peace. We need the Holy Spirit to work it in our lives, and the Holy Spirit always works through the means of grace, baptism, Holy Communion, and God's Word, the Bible. So we live in a stressed out, worried, and anxious world. Jesus doesn't want us to be stressed out. He doesn't want us to be worried. He doesn't want us to be anxious. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to experience his peace, the peace that only he can give, the peace that passes understanding. So what I want to share with you today is 3 points. Number one, what is peace? Number two, we're going to look at Genesis 3 and see the four results of sin. And number three, we're going to talk about peace with God from Romans chapter 5. So what is peace? Well, again, just keeping it simple, I'm a simple person. Peace is the absence of conflict. Conflict is really stressful, isn't it? It's great when it's over. You have a feeling of well-being and calm, and that's peace. Conflict can take different forms. Sometimes our conflict is with other people. Sometimes we have inner conflict inside ourselves, worry or anxiety. Sometimes, if we're honest, we have our conflict with God and what he wants for our lives. So those are the three kinds of peace that we're talking about today. Peace with God, peace within, peace with others. Let me just briefly explain those. Peace with God is the most important kind of peace. It is foundational to the other kinds of peace. If you don't have peace with God, it's going to be difficult to have peace within and peace with others. Romans 5 is such a powerful statement then when it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we'll be focusing on today. But let me quickly introduce you to the other two types of peace that we'll be talking about in the next three sermons. Number two is peace within. Peace within is freedom from worry, fear, and anxiety. And many people struggle with this kind of peace today. They have a lot of sleepless nights worrying about things. Jesus promises us in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Jesus doesn't want us to live with troubled hearts or fearful hearts, but to experience his peace. And finally, number three, peace with others. If you have peace with God and peace within, it becomes a lot easier to make peace with others. We live in a world of broken relationships, but God wants to restore and heal those relationships. Romans 12:18 tells us, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. God is able to bring peace between two or more people in conflict, and the way he does that is through the power of the cross and through the forgiveness of sins. So there's the three types of peace. Peace with God, peace within, peace with others. You might ask the question, why don't we have peace with God? Where did we lose our peace with God? And I'm glad you asked that question. We don't have peace with God because of what happens in Genesis 3. And so I want to move on to the second point, four results of sin, because based on what happens in Genesis 3. Genesis 3 is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, and probably the most tragic. Every bad thing you have in your life is a result of what happened in Genesis 3. When people ask, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Well, you and I actually have the answer to that. We can turn them or have them turn to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis 1 and 2, God created Adam and Eve and placed them in paradise in the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. It was paradise. But Adam and Eve decided to foolishly join Satan in his war with God. By eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the human race rebelled against God and started a war with him, a war we can't possibly win. That rebellion is called sin. And sin has consequences. War always does, has. War always has tragic and deadly consequences. This war is no different. There are four serious and tragic consequences to sin. Number one is fear. Verse 10 says, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. The first noticeable consequence of sin is that Adam and Eve noticed they were afraid. Adam and Eve used to go for walks with God in the garden, but now when they hear him coming, they are afraid and they hide. They had never been afraid before. It was a new and horrible feeling for them. Fear has become the baseline emotion for the whole human race. Many of us don't get to experience true love or true joy or true happiness, but we all get to experience fear. It's part of humanity. We are all afraid. It's a completely natural part of our lives. And many people live their whole lives in fear. And that's all because of sin. The second tragic consequence of sin is broken relationships. Up to this point, Adam and Eve had a perfect marriage and a perfect friendship. They had never disagreed. They never had an argument. They never hurt each other. They never heard each other's feelings. That's all over now. Now Adam and Eve are in a big fight. They're in a big spat. They're fighting with each other and they're blaming one another. When God asks Adam, what is this you have done? Adam says, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Relationships in that moment went from easy to really hard, from peaceful to full of conflict. Notice God even gets some of the blame. The woman you put here with me, she is the problem. You know, we in our arguments tend to blame everything on everyone else besides ourselves. Sin causes broken relationships. It also causes, number three, pain and suffering. I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. At this point, Adam and Eve had not yet experienced physical pain or suffering, but they will. Pain and suffering becomes a part of everyone's life. 100% of all people on earth suffer because of sin. Even one of life's greatest blessings, the birth of children, is accompanied by pain now. When you see people suffering in this world, when you and I suffer, it all goes back to Genesis chapter 3. But that's not even the worst of it. Just when you thought it couldn't get worse, it does. There's so many bad consequences of sin. Fear, broken relationships, pain and suffering, and the worst one of all, number four, death. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return, Genesis 3:19. Not only do 100% of humans suffer, 100% of humans die. That's 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100, 1,000 out of 1,000. Dust you are, dust you shall return. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The ultimate consequence of our war with God and the ultimate reality for every human being is that we will suffer and we will all die. We're in terrible shape. We are in need of someone to help us. Someone who can fix this. Someone who can put a stop to this mess we've gotten ourselves into. Someone who can solve the problem of sin. What we need is someone to come and make peace with God. And that's where Romans 5 comes in and gives us the good news, the great news of the gospel. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the final point I want to talk about today. This good news of salvation is peace with God. We do have peace with God thanks to what Jesus Christ has done for us. Isaiah, 700 years earlier, before Jesus was born, promised that God would send the Prince of Peace. And when Jesus was born, the angels proclaimed what? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It was a declaration from God that the war is over. Jesus Christ came to pay the price for our sin and our rebellion and make peace with God through his death, through his blood, and through his resurrection. Now, because of what Jesus has done, God is no longer our enemy. He is on our side. He is our friend. Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? God is with you. God is for you. God's on your side. If God's on your side, what is there to be afraid of? God is for you. And the good news is that God can use everything, even suffering, for our good. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Romans 5, 3 and 4. God has forgiven your sin, is now your friend, and he is the best friend any person could ever have. He can help us in every area of our life. There's nothing so good that God can't make it better, and there's nothing so horrible or evil that God can't help us with. God can even bring good out of suffering and promises to do just that. Make no mistake, suffering itself isn't good. But God brings good out of bad things. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character. In other words, God can use even suffering to produce virtue and character and strength. He uses the bad things in our life for good. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's the beautiful thing for the Christian. All things work towards good, even the bad things in our life. And most importantly, death becomes the door to eternal life. God can bring good things out of bad things, and that's even true of the ultimate evil, death. Jesus Christ not only conquered sin, he has also conquered death. Through his glorious resurrection, he has defeated our greatest enemy and given us hope. And Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. You see, Jesus not only conquered sin, he also conquered death. And through his glorious resurrection, he has defeated our greatest enemy. And now we live, not in fear, but in hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts. Hope does not disappoint us, because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Hope does not disappoint us, because Jesus Christ has turned death into the door to everlasting life. And because we have such a hope, we're not afraid. Because we have such a hope, we are very bold. And because we have such a hope, because we have peace with God, we can live our life in peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.